This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. It's going to be old Murfreesboro Day. And I want to let you know that the first part of the show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive at 2006 North Main Street in Shebaville, Tennessee. You can reach them at 1-800-264-6800, toll free, or the internet, PirtleHowerton.com. If you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, that's the place to go. Just take about a 15-20 minute drive down 231 South. It's on your left before you get into Shebaville. And go in and just spend a day there, just talking to the people, having a good time, and see if there's anything like that that you would love to take home with you. And I bet you, you'll find one. Today is a very special day. And it's one thing, I've had a lot of people asking me about my show, our show, for the week, and I have the lineup, and Monday we're going to be on the air. Brian Barrett and I have decided that we're not going to go anywhere. We're not going to take any time off. We're going to be loyal to the listeners. So Monday we'll have Jimmy McKnight on, and if you don't know Jimmy McKnight, you have missed a treat. Tuesday we'll have Greg Tucker on, and Wednesday we have Nick Barris from Channel 5, who is a real hoot. Thursday, we have Mike Walker, ex-colonel with the Highway Patrol, and now the new chief of Laverne Police Department. And Friday, we'll have Terry Beckman on. And Terry is one of the sweetest ladies that you've ever met. And she's in charge in the Middle Tennessee area of investigating Medicare fraud. And don't think that that's just going to be just one of these boring type interviews, because she is absolutely delightful. And this is one gentleman that I've been trying to get on my show for about 8 months now, and he's been evading me. And Fred Goodwin led the charge for me, went out, captured him, dragged him in here, and this is going to be a tremendous show. I have Mr. Earl Roberts on, and if you grew up in the 40s, in the 50s, and all the way up to now, he was what they call the big man on campus at Central High School. And that's when sports really started taking off in Rutherford County, and Central became one of the toughest schools in the state. And that was thanks, of course, to Mr. Pate and the great athletes that he had in the late 40s and early 50s. Earl, it's a great pleasure to have you on today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And you grew up in a very special place. We're talking about old Murfreesboro. We're talking about East Main Street.
Yeah, that it was a time when probably the country began about half an hour each direction, half a mile each direction from the square. And the roads weren't too good, but they were passable, and so were the people. So it was a good time.
And you were in walking distance of everything.
That's right. That's right.
And East Main Street, if you were looking at East Main Street today and compare it to what it used to be, I guess the biggest difference is there was very little population in that area at that time.
Yeah, and what I really miss is a lot of the old houses that were there that have been replaced by, well, whatever these days, banks, gas stations, stores, mm-hmm. whatever. But I do miss them, because there were some nice houses here, and still are, but I miss the ones that are gone.
Now, your house, is as you leave the square going east, is on the right, about a block off the square, maybe a little bit more
than that. It's the end of the 300 block, and it's across from the Central Christian Church. That's mm-hmm. where I grew up, anyway.
Now, was there a rural area or a field area around your house when you were young? I mean, tell me about that, because that what we were talking about earlier, it really interests me.
Well, the only field really was the lot that was behind the house, uh-huh. and we kept it busy. The grass was worn off of it every year, no doubt, because we had so many people that would come in and play ball, and as long as you had a ball, you could play. And I guess we played kick the can and mm-hmm. hide-and-seek and basketball. In fact, we had an old garage door that we put up with a rim on it to play basketball.
No net.
Well, sometimes. Depends on how many times.
We couldn't afford a net.
Well, you know, I really don't remember whether we had one or not. But and then we played football, and probably one of the better sports was marbles. And I wasn't too good, but there were a lot of them that were. And marbles was something that you had to sort of hold on to, because if you didn't, you had to have money to buy more, and money didn't come too easily at that time.
Now, if you weren't a good marbles player, that means you were probably going to lose all your marbles, right?
Well, probably have, and I'm not sure whether you're talking about cents or just marbles.
Well, tell me about some of your buddies growing up in there, that area, because it's so fascinating.
Well, there were not a lot, but we had a family, a black family that lived close, and there were two brothers that were my brother's age, and then there were two boys that were my age, and then there was one girl. Mm-hmm. So you know they were pretty good sports, because the girl's son was Dennis Harrison.
And everybody knows him.
He was the All-American tackle for Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm. And played pro ball.
And I saw him 2 or 3 years ago, and I asked him about all the boys and all the brothers, and he wondered how in the world I knew them. And when I told him, I played with them every day, and he said there was just one left. So I was disappointed, and I'd love to see him if he's still around. But he's in Detroit, I think.
I bet you guys had some fun times back then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, from breaking windows with a football. And at one time, we did a little smoking.
Oh, no. No. Now, we're talking about regular tobacco.
Well, no, not regular. This was just one time.
Uh-huh.
And somebody called the fire department. So the fire department comes down and checks to see what's wrong and sees we're just smoking. So they go home. But my mother didn't go home. When she found out about it, I was turned over to my father. So not a good time.
Did your father actually give you a good belt whipping?
That was one of three. The rest of them were always dealt by my mother.
Isn't that funny that I can still remember every spanking my dad and my mom gave me, every one of them.
Oh, I can't remember them all. I can remember the three from my father, though.
Now, you were right there on East Main. Where did you go to school? I mean, grade school.
Went to campus school, or training school, we called it then.
I didn't realize training school was that old.
Yeah.
Sorry, Earl. I had to get back at Charlie Pitt some way.
You put it to me again. In fact, my brother and sister went to training school, but they didn't start there because it was not open when they were in the first grade. Mm-hmm. But that's where I went. And it was good school, and still is, I understand.
Now, training school back then, and even when I went to school, they didn't have sports. They didn't have basketball or football.
No, but when I got to the seventh grade, they started playing basketball again. Mm-hmm. And we played Critchlow and McFadden and Murray, I think. And
wow.
And at that time, we had a freshman and sophomore high school team, because that's as far as they went. And I can remember the first time that I got a suit to play in. We were going to play in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a suit, and they gave us Mr. Bandy. You remember
oh, yes.
Mr. Bandy?
Well.
He was coaching, and he gave us a suit. And so I took it to MTSU, because that afternoon I was going to the tournament in the old gym.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Bandy comes up and takes my suit. He says, "You're going to lose that." So he said, "I'll give it back to you." So, okay. So we play on Monday. And so I come to school. He gives me my suit. And we go to Cox Memorial to play in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I put the suit on, it's about four sizes too big. And every time I would run, I would sort of flap like a bird. So whoever was the coach, maybe Mr. Burkett, I'm not sure.
Bob Burkett.
Well, he took about four or five safety pins, and you know, he sort of took up the tops and took up the waist and all, and finally I got where I didn't fly when I ran up and down the court, but didn't look too good. I fixed it a little bit, and I think we won, so I got another chance. Gosh, that's been a
couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was 1947.
Oh my goodness.
Ooh-wee.
1947.
Yeah. And that the place that I went that night was to MTSU in the old gym.
Uh-huh.
And I would get in line and buy two tickets. That's all they would let you buy because it didn't seat very many people. And I probably paid a quarter each. And then someone would buy them for me because they wanted to get in. So I would make about 50 cents on that, then go in and sell Cokes and get a penny for every Coke that I sold. So I didn't sell many because I watched all the ball games.
Now, the old gym is still there as you go in.
It's behind the main building,
okay.
But the gym is not there.
Okay.
The gym has been renovated, and they've made offices and classrooms out of it, I guess. I've never
been
there.
Now, was that the old gym that they used to have the county tournaments in and everything, and they would just line up, you know, the upstairs and downstairs?
Yeah, I think that's the one you're talking about. Of course, it's been gone a long time because the old gym where they play volleyball came in 1950 or 51, something like that. But it was there, and it was, I thought, a great basketball gym. But I learned later that it wasn't too classy, but it was all right then.
I saw you play ball. I was a small kid, and my Uncle Ben played with you basketball and that was some of the most fun times. And being a young kid, I could not understand why all of the people in that gymnasium were against you when they played the county tournaments, except the ones that were sitting on the stage area.
Yeah. Well, we had it sort of tough to begin with. I know my senior year, there were about 11 teams in the tournament. Mm-hmm. And seven of those teams were the county teams like Las Casas and Walter Hill and all.
Don't forget Kittrell.
And Kittrell. Oh, Kittrell. I remember that school. I sure do. I refereed out there several times.
We'll get to that a little bit later.
Okay. But anyway, they had to seed them in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were seven county teams, so they all voted Central on the bottom. And they voted Lebanon next to the bottom in Woodbury, which would have been, I think, they would have been eighth or ninth, whatever. So they voted us to play Lebanon the first game because they were the two toughest teams in there, so they got rid of one of them. Well, we beat them, luckily, and then we played Woodbury and beat them, so that's two of the toughest teams out. So they knew what they were doing, so they got two of the toughest teams out, but we still made the finals and played Walter Hill, I think. You're taking me so far back, I'm not sure I remember all
of
this.
No, you're doing fine. In fact, you're doing a whole lot better than I am. The players that you played with when you first played for Mr. Pate basketball, and a lot of people don't realize, but you played on the very first team that Mr. Pate ever coached basketball.
Yeah. I really the second, because I was a freshman when Mr. Pate was a freshman. And he had a pretty good team, and Bill Clark, who still lives here, he was on that team, and Bill Rushing and several others, but been too long for me to remember all of them. But anyway.
I remember three people really standing out. And of course, one I'm partial because he's my Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
You and Brock Sanders.
Well, that was really probably the second and third year. And, in fact, I got to start as a sophomore, and I didn't think I would be. And the only chance I had, and Bill Clark gave it to me, he transferred and went to Baylor. And he was a good player, and we missed him. And then, so I got to play. And with M.B. Jackson and, let's see, I had little note here.
I think those were the ones you called the Mighty Midgets, right?
Yeah, somebody gave us the name Mighty Midgets, and I have no idea, but I think it was a sports writer out of Nashville that gave us that, because we had
when Raymond Johnson, was it?
No, Raymond was it wasn't Raymond anyway. Bill Bonner may have been the one.
Okay.
But anyway, we had, I was 5'5 when I was a sophomore, and M.B. Jackson was about 5'7, and Billy Noel, who died here this week. Do you remember that name?
Yes, sir.
He was a good football player, and basketball, he was about 5'6, I think. And the real player of the team was Joe Johns, and he was 5'10. And then Bobby Pittard was 5'11, so that's the reason they called us the Mighty Midgets.
Was Joe from the Smyrna area?
Joe, I think, lived in the country, but close by.
I wonder if he was related to Tommy Johns.
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
But Joe was a good one. I've seen him, not many of the people shot one-handed shots from out beyond the foul line. Mm-hmm. And I've seen him stand out, hit 8, 10, 12 in a row. He could play.
And those were set shots, right?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know what there was anything but a set shot.
No, I think they quit. I don't think they started jump shooting until
a little bit later. I never saw one. When I was in high school, I never saw a one-handed jump shot. I tried to start shooting a two-handed jump shot because I had to get up above some of those guys, but didn't work too well. Two-handed jump shot, you try it, no good. It just doesn't work.
I don't see how you guys did as well shooting the foul shots with two hands between your legs. I have never figured that one out.
The granny shot?
Yeah, the granny shot.
Well, that's what Pate wanted, and if Pate wanted it, you remember, you did it.
Was he the same with you guys? As you were kind of got him started.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't think he mellowed any by the time he got to us.
I was introduced to Mr. Pate by Mr. Pittard. Mm-hmm. I was a day late getting to football practice when I was a freshman. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Pittard introduced him to me. And I had just come from Cleveland, Tennessee, where he'd come from. Well, I asked him if he knew a friend of mine up there. He just turned around and walked off, so I guess I should have known what was coming. And he never answered or anything, but I guess later on I realized that he was different.
I always heard that you were kind of his pet. Is that true? Now, that didn't come around very often.
Well, I've had people tell me that, and I still scared to death of him no matter what. I really was.
And to this day, if he was still alive, bless his heart, I wish he was, but if he was still alive, you would be on your best behavior the whole time that you were around him.
That's right. I have heard of people that played golf with him at the country club, and if he came up, they'd quit smoking. They'd put him out. That's how he ruled. He ruled the roost around our gym.
And you probably had conversations with him as he got older. I know after his wife died, I had the pleasure of having lunch with him from time to time. And he had just completely mellowed out and just really was enjoying things.
Well, I didn't see him very much because I didn't go to the country club. I didn't play golf. Mm-hmm. So I saw very little of him. His wife told me one time, though, that every night that they played football, that she would cook a steak. And if they won, he'd eat it. And if they didn't, he wouldn't. Now, I've never heard anybody else say that, but she told me that one time.
I've had people tell me that they've seen him walk and pace in the sidewalks at night late after a game.
Yeah.
Do you ever remember going to a game, away game, that you didn't have a coat and tie on?
Well, no, we did not wear coat and ties.
Oh, we did.
I guess that came a little later. Mm-hmm. If it did, I don't think I remember it. I do know that he always made us look nice, and he wouldn't have anything, cutting up and laughing and yelling. In fact, we did that one time, and a few people didn't get to play. So I never did that.
What was the best team you were ever on for Central?
Football or basketball?
Both.
Or what?
One of each.
Well, I don't guess we ever really had a real good basketball team. We won some games, but we didn't have a very tough schedule, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I can remember playing with some pretty good fellows like Ben Jones and Joe Johns and Bobby Pittard, and there were several more. But anyway, we played as hard as we could play because that's the only thing you did against Pate. And, you know, you see teams now that have better coaches because, you know, Mr. Pate had never coached basketball mm-hmm. until he came to Central. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, at the end of my sophomore year, he gathered us together in a room and said, I want to thank y'all for the effort that you've given us during this season. Mm-hmm. And I'd never spoken to the man before then, mm-hmm. really, not. And he said, y'all, he said, I've never coached basketball, and y'all gave us good effort and all. And he said, I just want to appreciate it.
Wow. Was so, Aaron Todd the first big man we ever had?
I guess. That
I
was
think
after
he was about
my time.
6'6", 6'7",
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But the Mighty Midgets, if we hadn't have been fast, we wouldn't have made it at all. But, you know, we were undefeated until the last game of the season. But the night before the last game, Mr. Pate, and I always called him Mr. Pate. Anybody call him anything else?
Never. Never. You didn't call him coach. You didn't call him anything but Mr. Pate.
I talked to him as little as I could.
And always with respect.
That's right. That's right. But anyway, we had he got us a game with Howard High School mm-hmm. out of Nashville, and they were the best team in Nashville. He wanted us to get beat, and I didn't know that until Mr. Burkett told me that later on.
Hmm.
He wanted us to get beat before the tournament. Well, we beat Howard High School, and some people said that was maybe with a little help of Mr. Jackson, who was the referee, but I don't believe
no,
that.
No.
But anyway, we beat them, and of course, we come up and play Bellbuckle the next night, and we had beaten Bellbuckle 20-something points mm-hmm. Earlier in the season. But Bellbuckle comes here, and we play them, and I didn't recognize any of the boys on Bellbuckle's team this time. And the fellow, now, you know, there's nothing wrong with tattoos, but mm-hmm. the fellow that had two tattoo on each arm, I'd never seen him before. But anyway, they beat
us.
You
don't think they threw about five ringers in there, do you?
I don't know, but their coach walked around the square, Murfreesboro, the next day for about six times, I think. Anyway, they beat us, and so we did go to the tournament defeated.
And then you went from there over to MTSU, right, when you graduated from Central?
No, I went to Swanee and played football.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I did know that.
And I had...
That had to have been fun.
Well, it was. It was the kind of team that you play on that the coach had a lot of energy and wanted you to win, but it was fun. And we had a pretty good team. And in spite of the fact that we had a little All-American that got hurt before the season started, and guess who replaced him?
You.
We didn't have
who
anybody,
else?
We didn't have anybody else. And he played wingback. And that was a single wing also, just like we ran.
That's all we knew.
School. That's all I ever played under. Mm-hmm. But he was the safety, and he played tailback or wingback. Mm-hmm. And a boy named Bobby Parks, who was a All-State player from Fayetteville, mm-hmm. was there as a freshman, and he played the other position on offense. And then I played safety just like I did for a couple of years in high school.
Now, was that in the Southern Conference at that time?
You know, I don't remember. We played...
you played some pretty good schools.
Yeah, and Washington University mm-hmm. out of St. Yep. Louis, and gosh, who else did we play? A team out of Jackson, Jackson, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Millsaps.
Millsaps. Mm-hmm. Paid Millsaps, yeah. And, you know, I can't think of the other teams that we played.
But Swanee at that time, and times before that, was a powerhouse across the country. I mean,
they
was known everywhere.
They played in the SEC. They were good. But then we were about that caliber mm-hmm. of the teams that we were playing. We were not as good as MTSU. But I enjoyed it. Got to play my freshman year, and then I had mononucleosis, mm-hmm. and I came home and had one of the worst cases. I stayed in bed for 4 weeks or so, and mm-hmm. I really just didn't feel like doing anything for a long time. So I gave it up.
One of the things that I did not remember you doing was being a referee for basketball games. And it's my understanding that you used to do some county basketball games. And the first thing out of my mouth was, did you lose your mind?
Well, when I went into refereeing, they told me that one of the things I shouldn't do would be to referee in this county. He said, they know you too well, and they will get to know you too well. So I thought, okay. And so I started refereeing, and the league sent me to Lewisburg and Lawrenceburg and Fayetteville, and I went to work at 6:30 the next morning. So I didn't like those long nights, so I began calling at Kittrell and Las Casas and all those teams. And you know, I really enjoyed it. Doc Burns and who else was it that was so notorious in some of these schools? Anyway, they always gave us a hard time. But Ed Todd and I refereed the Rockvale Eagleville game at both locations for about 5 years.
And
every time you went in the gym, they booed you until you got to the dressing room. And then they booed you when you got out. Then they booed your first call, I guess. But I enjoyed it, and, you know, we never had any trouble. I don't know of any time where we thought we might get thrown out of the gym or whatever.
You never were escorted out by the highway patrol or the local law enforcement agencies?
No.
Because I can remember those times.
Yeah, there were times when there were some problems. But Clifton Tucker and Joe, what was his name?
Shelton.
At Eagleville.
Yes.
And, of course, that's where we were refereeing. And Joe Shelton loved to raise Cain.
Oh, I remember.
But I think, you know, one of those old sayings where they would give you a technical for every step that you took back to the bench. I'm not sure whether Ed Todd told him that, but I think somebody told him that one night, and I don't think he knew where to step next.
Yeah, you and Ed called games together.
Yeah, we called a lot of games.
Now, that had to have been fun.
Yeah, Ed was a good referee and a nice fella, and, you know, it was enjoyable. And the funny part about it was Clifton Tucker, you know, was for Rockvale. And one time, my brother, who was in the Air Guard, they took a trip to the World's Fair in Seattle. And so I got to go with them, and we went to the World's Fair in Seattle. I don't remember the date or what, you know, when it was.
About 1905, I think.
1906, maybe. He's on me again. Anyway, I'm in the World's Fair, and I look up, and Tucker is standing there with his wife and two children. So I get in line behind him, and I push him a little bit. And he sort of looks a little bit and doesn't say anything, and I push him again. And then I push him again, and he turned around, looked at me, and he stepped back and threw his hat on the ground and jumped it, and he said, "Here I come 2,000 miles, and I run into these dead blame referees." Well, it was I really enjoyed that. I thought that was funny.
Well, we're going to have to take a quick break, and we will go to our next sponsor, and that will be At Home Care, and that's Melissa Warren's business. And what she does, she has a business that where they go into your home when you start having physical problems and unable to take care of your normal home task, and they do all of that for you so that you can still maintain your quality of life at home. And if you have special problems, you give Melissa a call at 713-4639, or you can reach her on the website at www.athomecaretennessee.com, or you can go over to her business, which is at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And this is 24/7. So if you have need for that particular service, give Melissa a call, because I guarantee you, you won't be sorry.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the health care experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
HGTV, the leader in home design and know-how, has joined Shaw Floors, the leader in flooring and city tile and floor covering, the largest flooring retailer in our area, to bring you HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw Collection. Doug Young with City Tile.
Come to City Tile and see the new selections of the HGTV products exclusively at City Tile.
Your HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw authorized retailer. Visit citytile.net. City Tile and Floor Covering.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
It's Friday, September the 2nd. Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank. The Angel's Closet Sale over at Heaven Sent Children today and tomorrow. Gently used children's clothing, toys, and accessories, and it all benefits Heaven Sent Children, the International Adoption Agency. That sale is at their location, 307 North Maple Street, today and tomorrow. And the final Friday Night Live concert on the Murfreesboro Square for the season is tonight, 6:30 to 9:30. And it features the O'Donnells. A special thank you to the Main Street Program and the only downtown business association for making these Friday Night Lives possible. Speaking of Friday night, the first Friday Star Party at MTSU is tonight, 6:30 to 8:30. That's in the Weiser Patton Science Hall. And tonight they look at the killer asteroids. Seriously. Oh yes, there's a country dance tonight at 7 at the St. Clair Street Senior Center. The Snappy Pappy Band pumps out the music. 7 o'clock tonight at the St. Clair Street Senior Center. The admission is $5. And a gospel concert tonight at 7:30 at the Art Center of Cannon County over in neighboring Woodbury. 7:30 tonight. And there's a presentation all about Medicare tomorrow at 2 at the Lime Ball Library. Everything you need to know about Medicare. And it's free. 2 o'clock tomorrow at the Lime Ball Library. And mellow blues guitarist Max Johns in concert tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Murfreesboro Center for the Arts. This is a benefit for Alive Hospice of Murfreesboro. That's 7:30 tomorrow night at the Murfreesboro Center for the Arts. Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank.
Weather Eye.
Sunshine continues this afternoon, high in the upper 90s. Tonight, mainly clear, low 72. Saturday, sunny, high of 97. Slight chance of storm Saturday night. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 97.
It's Friday. Hi, this is Tom at Kirk & Burt's. Stop by and pick up a rack of ribs for just $15. Kirk & Burt's, 517 Cason Lane, just down from the theater. Call us at 893-FOOD, and we also deliver in the Cason Lane area.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
And today's guest, Earl Roberts.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips now, how about you?
We're listening to Mr. John Blankenship and friends, and some of his friends, Avett Lane, Ken and Sarah Frizzell, and Billy Yearwood, and they have a great band. John was on our show just recently, and it's one of those places that you can go out to the mill in Readable. It'll be 200 years old next year, and it was being refurbished by Tom Brady. And go out there and just absolutely have a wonderful time. I mean, you can't have a better breakfast. You can't meet better folks. And you're just in another time era completely. And if you would like to call before you go, call 563-6455. Or you can reach them at www.readablemeal.com. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes going down John Bragg Highway toward Woodbury. You'll see the sign turn left there. Go in, and I'll guarantee you it'll be the best time that you spend in a long, long, long time. Earl, we're having such a great time, and one of the things that I have found extremely interesting is you being a referee, and I can remember those times, especially growing up at Kittrell and seeing those, because it was a passion for all of the county people to go and watch their school play. And it was one community against another community. And the feelings got a little hot. And I have seen that a number of times. And you said you've never been escorted out by the police who were protecting you. I have seen that a number of times.
Well, I really never had any trouble with it. The funniest one, I guess, I ever was involved with was Ed, Florida.
Oh, and, my goodness.
And I was at campus school, uh-huh. training school, whatever uh-huh. you call it, when he was playing high school. And he'd come in out of the Army and came back to play high school basketball. And I got to be friends with Ed.
That's in Las Casas.
Las Casas. Mm-hmm. And later on in life, I said, well, Ed, you played about 8 years, and the last four of them, I think you were the janitor at Las Casas School. And he said, yeah, he was. So we've laughed about that so many times, and we were good friends. And, you know, I never had a junior pro team that I coached that he didn't sponsor with his Florida brothers. And I really appreciated that, and with Edwin, too. Edwin did the same thing, so they were good friends.
And they were that way their whole lives, every yeah. one of them that I know. They would reach out. If somebody needed help, they were the first ones to be there.
Let's don't say it too much, because Edwin might get the big head, and I don't want him to. But I really enjoyed them. Florida brothers, Florida boys were good ones.
Edwin thinks he is a great singer. Have you ever been around him?
No, thank goodness.
He actually sung in our cantata one time at church. And to believe it or not, the guy can sing.
I mean, can he really?
Yes, he is really good.
Well, let me tell you somebody else that can sing. Campbell Brandon.
Now, oh, no, I'll never believe that.
Well, he really can't, but he was a singer. He sings now. He talks a lot. But back when he was at Las Casas, mm-hmm. before he went to Lebanon, and of course, he coached for a long time, and, well, he did a pretty good job of it, but I really wouldn't want to say that either. But I was refereeing at one of the little county schools. I forget which one. And he was there scouting because they were going to play them the next week. Mm-hmm. Well, he was sitting in the stands with his girls. And so he thought he'd get his girls to give me sort of a hard time mm-hmm. officiating, you know. Of course, you couldn't do it now, but I stopped the game. And I told him if I heard anything more out of them when I came to their place next week, I was going to give them a hard time. Well, Brandon didn't know what to say, and the girls didn't know what to say, but I never heard another word from them. But Camel gave me a hard time for doing that, but I've just laughed and had a good time with
I've never heard him with not being able to have a comeback. Never.
That's right. That's right.
When you were at campus school, did you have a band?
Yeah.
Now, Campbell told me something, and I'm still having a hard time believing it. Charlie Brandon, his younger brother, as you know, was our BMOC when we played in 1959. He played tailback. He told me just before we had one of our baseball meetings that Charlie was the drum major, the one that's kicked his feet up high and all that stuff. Is that true?
I don't know. Of course, I was Camel's age. Old Camel was 3 years behind me, but I don't know. That's something that I couldn't tell you.
Well, I just wanted to verify it. Charlie denies it. I just want to know.
Yeah. Well, Charlie and I have gotten to be good friends, and I always call him his alias, Jack. So mm-hmm. that's about all I can say. I'm getting in Charlie. If I say any more, I'm getting into Charlie.
Now, you mentioned a name a minute ago that just absolutely reaches out in history. Burl Crowell.
Burl Crowell.
Now, well, tell me about him.
Well, Burl probably had the most unique ability of keeping all the coaches happy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how good he officiated, and I'm sure pretty well, but and he and Jimmy Earle had a good thing going. They laughed and had a good time. In fact, Jimmy Earle used to keep the clock when Burl and all the other, what was the referee's name?
Bill Pack.
Bill Pack, and mm-hmm. and there were four of us that officiated football games, and Jimmy Earle would go and keep the clock. Mm-hmm. And you've never heard as much many jokes and all. Jimmy Earle and those guys had a good time, and I enjoyed it too. But that's been a long time too. I officiated for Monk, mm-hmm. Montgomery,
and
those games at Kittrell, too.
Now, that had to have been a treat.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody says that Monk was so good, and he was.
Yes, he was.
And but he had some good people playing with him, too.
All the Nipper boys.
Yeah.
Oh, my
All
goodness.
Yeah. But Montgomery, Monk, I guess he was a senior, and I went out and to officiate one night, and he sort of smiles, you know, and puts that head down, if you remember. And he mm-hmm. said, Mr. Roberts said, I'm glad to see you referee. He said, I usually get about 50 every time you officiate. Well, what do you say? Is it my fault that he gets 50 or what? And that night, I think he got 50. I guess he averaged 50.
Without the three-point shot.
That's right.
And most of his shots were behind the three-point.
Yeah. He could sure throw them in. And one boy from Auburn who was in school when mm-hmm. he was a freshman, mm-hmm. he told me, he said that they didn't go to see the varsity play as much as they did freshmen because they enjoyed watching Monk so much. And I'm sure that's true because I enjoyed watching him too.
He had great talent, but he would get the key to the gym all by himself and sit in there and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could have great talent, but you can't perfect it like he did.
Well, if you don't shoot it right, correctly,
right,
it doesn't help you that much. But he knew how to shoot it. He had that touch. He always squared up when he shot the ball, mm-hmm. and he was just a picture you need to put in a magazine to show mm-hmm. how to shoot the basketball.
He was perfection, I think.
Yeah. And then when he got sick, I went out to see him a couple of times,
yeah.
and I hated that, and went with his brother out there before he died. And
Comas.
Mm-hmm. And one day, Monk told me, said, Mr. Roberts said, you called one of the two technical fouls on me that was called on me in my entire time. He said, but I deserved it. And what he did was when I called a foul on him, he instead of throwing the ball to his hand, he threw it down and it almost bounced to the top mm-hmm. of the Kittrell gym. So
I never saw him excited.
Well, I think he got excited, but he knew how to control it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was a fun time in officiating. Oh, got one or two more on officiating. I officiated a Liberty and Smithville game, and I think it was back when Jimmy Earl was coaching. And Smithville went to Liberty, and the Liberty people thought they would freeze the ball.
Mm-hmm.
We stood around, and there wasn't any rule then that you
right.
had to shoot. And we stood around, and right near the end, Smithville started trying to win the game. Well, they didn't. No, not Smithville, but Liberty mm-hmm. did. And Smithville won the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, they were raising Cain, and everybody was yelling and cheering and all that. And so we went out of the gym pretty quick, because that's one of the nights when I thought they were sort of
What could you do?
Well, nothing. But anyway, that guy said to us, the referee said, well, this is the first game y'all probably have ever officiated in your life. And the guy was refereeing and said, not me. He said, I officiated a lot, but it's his first game, talking about me. Well, I could have killed him. But, you have to laugh about something like that, too.
That's one of those things. I remember when one of the teams did that to Mr. Pate's team, the 1960 team that was so good. And
mm-hmm.
you remember them. They were just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I think the game ended up something like 7-3 or whatever. And Murfreesboro just absolutely destroyed everybody all year.
Mm-hmm.
They had a 6'11 center, Nunnery, and then had Charles Smith and Ed Lowry. And let's see, Dan Midget was a guard. Even at guard, I think he was about 6'3", something like that. And Donnie Newman was the other guard. And nobody could even come close to him. And Tullahoma decided they were going to freeze it. And I never will forget, at the end of the game, Mr. Pate would not shake hands with the coach and said, that will be the last time we'll ever play you.
Do you remember the coach at Tullahoma?
No.
Ken Trickey.
Ken Trickey was
the
coach?
Ken Trickey was
the
coach.
Oh, my goodness. I would have never dreamed that, because I remember when he used to coach. You know,
yeah, I played with Trickey in college at MDSU. My sophomore year, I transferred after I was sick and tried to play basketball, but I lost my touch and my stomach hurt and all that. I just couldn't get in shape. And
5'5". It's a miracle that anybody could play.
I was 5'8" then. I was.
Oh, you grew.
I was tall then.
You had a growing spurt.
One other thing, I kept the clock for MTSU football for about 30 years, maybe a little bit more.
You were the Butch Campbell.
I was the Butch Campbell, mm-hmm. That's right. And I enjoyed it because, boy, the players kept getting bigger and better mm-hmm. and better and better. And somebody asked me several times if I thought that I could play mm-hmm. with the guys that are playing now. Mm-hmm. Why, I wouldn't make a good water boy because they're so.
I think you're just being too modest.
Well, one of the best things that I had was being speedy and stealing the ball and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Well, now you control that ball so well. Dribbling, if you didn't smack the ball, they'd call palming it and all, and mm-hmm. that's made a big difference. So there's so much difference in it, and the size is so much different, and then the coaching. Because all we had was Mr. Pate and football, Mr. Mm-hmm. Pittard. And now they have, what, 6, 7, even in high school to coach, and that sure makes a difference.
But the thing that, to me, has changed more than anything in basketball is the foul rules. That seems to dominate not only college ball, but also pro ball. And you never know what is going to be a foul because they maul each other the whole game.
Or do you think they get away with so much more than they used to?
That's putting it mildly.
If I could have gotten away with that much, I could have stolen the ball every time down, I believe, because they do give you a lot of leeway.
You were being a referee, and you see what goes on now. How would you be able to manage a basketball game?
Well, I don't think I could. And they are so inconsistent these days, and it's not their fault. Mm-hmm. It's because the players are so good and so tall, and I don't remember people dunking the ball. I can't even remember whether they could or not. But today's game is so much different. I'm not sure that I like it any as well as I did the other, but I still enjoy basketball.
And it seemed like there's favoritism to the pro star players. I mean, they seem to be able to get by with anything. And like Fred said, you talk about palming the ball and everything, walking.
Yeah.
It's done on almost every play that you see now. And it to me, it's taken away some of the – I guess I'm an old traditionalist. I love the old basketball. I really do.
I do too, yeah.
Now, which one did you favor, basketball or football, because you played ball?
I guess I could play basketball – better, I don't know, but I enjoyed football and I enjoyed defense and I enjoyed running punts back.
Now, that's like putting your shoulders in somebody's gut.
I guess I'm crazy to run a punt back, but I enjoyed it. So, you know, that's
tell me about the 1950 team.
Well, I tell you what, I'll come back and tell you about it because it would take a little bit longer because I'd love to tell you about some of the boys that played with us.
I will get you back because I want to kind of deal in depth with that because that's one of the more interesting things because the 1950 football team at Central is considered one of the best football teams ever in the state of Tennessee.
Well, we had a good time. We really did. And, it's sort of hard to beat. There wasn't – and we didn't have but, like we say, Mr. Pate and Mr. Pitter to coach us. Mm-hmm. And so you lose a lot, but then maybe you gain some when you don't have all that to go through.
Let's get away from sports a little bit. One of the more fascinating people that's ever been in Rutherford County is Jean Marie Faircloth, and ended up being Jean Marie Faircloth MacArthur.
Yeah.
And your family knew her very well.
Yeah, my mother was a couple of years younger, mm-hmm. but there weren't a whole lot of young girls in Murfreesboro, and they played together a pretty good deal, mm-hmm. and they always wrote each other back and forth, and Ms. MacArthur was a class lady. Now, there's no doubt about it, and of course, they came here and had time that he came, and came to Murfreesboro.
I remember.
And that was good, but it was not anywhere near as good as the time that Ms. MacArthur came back and sat down and talked to four or five of us. And she told us a lot about the general, and she always called him not his name. She called him the general all her life, and she sat and told us a lot of things about what happened. You know, when the different times during the World War II. And do we need to break here? Do I need to stop here a sec?
I tell you what. Let me take a quick break because I want to get right back to this, and I don't want to have any time in between. And I do want to let you know, though, that part of this show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. They have a large selection that ensures that you can have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. For a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they really do pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb can you get oil changes and tires for the life of the vehicle.
Self-storage has never been so convenient. Thanks to Zippy Shell, providing self-storage and moving solutions right to your front door. We deliver, you pack it, we pick it up and store it. Our units are secure, convenient, and best of all, they're just as affordable as traditional ones. Zippy Shell. Call us today for a free estimate.
Call locally owned Zippy Shell today. 216-7879. That's 216-7879.
Hi, this is Chuck Lewis with First Bank in Murfreesboro.
And Jim Bryan of First Bank in Smyrna.
Did you know that Social Security and other federal benefits are moving to a paperless system?
If you're currently receiving a paper check from the government and want to know more about how you can make the transition to direct deposit, stop by your local First Bank branch or call 890-1111 in Murfreesboro or 267-1111 in Smyrna.
That's 890-1111 or 267-1111. First Bank, member FDIC.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS, AM and FM.
Earl, we've got a lot going on today, and we have a phone call right at the very end. So, caller, welcome aboard with Earl Roberts.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask a question about the son of G. Marie and General MacArthur. If he still lives, I know he changed his name so he could have a private life, but I wondered if he still lives.
As far as I know, he's still alive, but I don't think that people here keep up with him anymore, and other than that, I really don't know anything else.
Okay. I've always enjoyed reading about the MacArthurs. Thank you.
Okay. And Ms. MacArthur was such a nice lady, and we asked her when we got her together there, why didn't she write a book about this, and she said, there have been enough books written. I will never write a book about our life.
But, you know, it would be so interesting to have something factual actually written about them in the general, because they're all over the place when they start talking about him. And there's never been anyone that, to me, that needed to be held in high esteem more than General MacArthur for all the many wonderful things. And, of course, we all know about the dispute between he and Harry S. Truman and some of the things that happened in Korea, but he was an amazing man.
Yeah, I think that he was, and some of the things he did and had to put up with, and to get us started back in the Pacific after we were so low, he did an excellent job.
And the love between G. Marie and General MacArthur, that's a story in itself, and that's one of the things that she could have written, is how she met him and going to the Philippines and all the details of that. I mean, you couldn't put the book down.
Well, I agree, but she'll never write. Well, of course, she's dead now, but she would never have written one. And one time I was going to New York to for something, and I got hold of her niece, and her niece called her and asked if I could come, and she said yes, and so I was ready to come to see her, and I called her in New York and said I would like to come, and she said, I just can't do it. And I told her that we would do it again sometime, and she said, do you know what today is? And I said, no. And she said, it's December the 7th. And, of course, this was, you know, Pearl Harbor Day. Mm-hmm. And she said, I am so tired, I cannot do it. And, of course, at that time, she was about 96, so mm-hmm. I could understand.
And we have another caller on the line, Earl. Caller, welcome aboard with Earl Roberts.
Hey, Truman.
Hey.
This is Ray Hughes.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted you to know that you're the best sheriff Russ County ever had.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I appreciate you, Earl. That was Ray. I'm sorry.
Is he still there?
I think he left us.
I think he left us.
Yeah. I wish we'd had time to talk to him a little bit.
Yeah, Ray was a good one. Well, are we through now?
Yeah, we can end the... I know they're giving us a little sign, and Brian always gets mad at me, but you went to see her in New York when you went to see
right.
her. And that had to have been one of the most interesting trips that you've ever taken.
Oh, yeah. There were several things that were interesting about it. I'm just sorry that I didn't get to go in to see her.
Yeah.
But can you imagine the time that I was there?
Yeah.
It'd be December the 7th.
I mean, that...
And I didn't even think about it, you know, that would conflict. Plus...
But she was thinking about it.
Well, she had to go to so many things. There mm-hmm. were several things that she said that she had to go to that they were still having on December the 7th, and this was almost 50 years after Pearl Harbor.
And she spent a long time at the Waldorf.
Yeah, she stayed at the Waldorf for many, many years.
That's amazing in itself.
Yeah.
Are you going to come back on my show again?
You'll talk about me if I don't, so I guess
yes, I
better.
Will. I'm going to put you down. You're going to be back on, and I want everybody to know that I'm going to let everybody know when you are going to be back on, because
please don't.
You have one of the most fascinating histories, I guess, of anybody around here, because you've known so much, you've done so much, and you've always done it at a high level. And yes, Brian, I am going to let you go now, and I will. We'll see you. Brian and I both will be working on Labor Day on Monday. And going to have Jimmy McKnight on. So we'll see you then.